At the Corn Utilization Technology Conference, I'm visiting with National Corn Growers Association President Martin Barbary. And Martin, let's start right here with this conference. This is every other year, and each conference seems like we focus on different aspects of new uses and research that's going on. What are we looking at this year, especially here?
You know, this year it seems that the focus is mainly on new technologies, maybe new products coming out of the dry and wet milling industry.
And so we bring together here researchers from various universities, various companies that are doing some research, right? And it's just a good way for do some collaboration.
Yeah, it's a great place for researchers to see what others are doing. There's a very good international focus here. We have visitors and attendees from all four corners of the world. And it's also a time where we have students come in, and we obviously have the Gary Lamy poster contest, and students are showing what their work they're doing research at college, and it's a great conference. You know, farmers realize they need to do these type of things so we can keep moving forward both sustainably and profitable.
Well, I will do my best to try to explain some of this research so that we understand what exactly they are doing with that investment. But let's touch on a couple of other issues important to corn growers right now. We just had the final of the WERDA legislation. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, we're thrilled that WERDA got passed again. We've not had a WERDA bill in several years. Obviously, now the concern is we got to get it funded as far as the locks and dam projects are concerned. We've been trying to get the barge fuel tax increase, trying to work that in. We didn't get it in the WERDA conference report, but yet we still think there's a way to get it in there. I mean, it's a fee that the industry is willing to pay to help fund these upgrades, which are so sorely needed.
Well, moving to another topic that has to do with water, some people say some fictitious water, but this is the proposed EPA rule on the waters of the U.S. What do you see as some of the potential problems with this? What should we try to get EPA to do at this point?
Well, we still feel the term navigable water should be in the rule itself. That's really the big change that we see coming if they take that word out. It just expands the focus of not only EPA, but the Corps of Engineers as well. It's going to require permits for maybe even just cleaning out a ditch along the side of a field. It has nothing to do with running water. There's just the potential is there for a lot of mischief with permits and everything. Obviously, they keep telling us, well, all these ag exemptions are in there, but we know how exemptions work, and they tend to disappear.
And really, although we're talking about the ag sector here, especially folks growing corn, this has a lot of impact on people that are even in the non-ag sector, too.
Well, this is going to affect, really, if they take navigable out of the definition of waters of the U.S., it affects water running anywhere across your lawn and down a city street, across an industrial park. There's just tremendous ways this can affect the lives of our citizens.
Well, we're going to hope that we ditch the rule, as I think some people are trying to have it happen right now, so we'll see what happens with that. Moving on to recent USDA forecast of increased exports, and with corn being a big part of that, how important is that to U.S. corn growers, and what do you see as the kind of potential that's opening up?
Well, Chuck, the potential is huge, but as far as U.S. corn growers are concerned, realistically, we always hear about the ethanol industry and how it's increased the corn market and has done this and done that, but when you put an ethanol plant in place, let's say it's a 110-million-gallon plant. Well, there's 40 million bushels of corn going there every year. That doesn't change the market. It's more use of the market, but it doesn't change the market. Really, the only things that change the market are that create volatility in the market, and there's only two things that really do that. One's weather, and the other's exports. In this case, we're working hard, especially with U.S. Grains Council, to increase corn exports worldwide. We're even working with other countries to open up more markets, because as we realize, we really compete with Argentina and Brazil for the world corn export market. But yet, through Mazol, a new group we've put together, we're working with them to try to get asynchronous approvals worldwide for these new traits that are desperately needed. And so, exports are the huge, major market mover we're going to see in the future.
Yeah, you would think that a forecast like this and the need for that kind of market, just for the value that it brings back to the producers, might stifle some of this fuel for food kind of debate, wouldn't you think?
Well, realistically, if we need exports to keep the corn market going, we've got plenty of corn to feed the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's touch finally on just some of the pending trade agreements. I think this is something NCGA works on to try to help in terms of the where we're at in the negotiations and things like that.
Yes, we work very closely with trade groups. Obviously, corn's a big part of that as we go forward. But right now, we're trying to make sure we just get equitable access to world markets. It's not trying to get more favorable access. It's just equitable. And that's the big thing that we try to do with these trade deals.
Well, thank you, Martin, for visiting with me here at CUTC 2014 in Louisville, Kentucky. I'm Chuck Zimmerman.